Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Girl Scout cookie season.
Yeah, I have purchased so many Girl Scout cookies. Not all for myself, but Savannah's little sister, you know, shout out to Adriana. She's been on the podcast before. She's a Girl Scout. Trying to help her out. I think I've probably bought like 40, maybe 50 boxes.
No, at this point, you are the number one, the number one customer.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, not just for me, like my whole entire family, my friends wanted me to just pick them up for them. They're lucky I'm nice. I did that. But I've been enjoying them a lot. a lot. Mm-hmm. What's your fave cookie, number one?
I feel like I like them all, and I can never decide what box that I want to buy when cookie season comes around, because I'm like, I'm not going to buy all of them. But I would say probably Caramel Delights / Samoas.
No, that's criminal. What a They're criminal answer. Listen, wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong answer. If we're going with, like, the classic, my favorite is the peanut butter patty. But I recently tried the Adventurefuls, which, game changer.
Yeah.
Honey, them are so good. It's basically like a thin mint with, like, caramel and not mint.
Oh, okay. It's
delicious. But also, you know, second runner-up, definitely thin mints. Always. Mm-hmm. And pro tip, if you put a pack, like a sleeve of Thin Mints in the freezer and eat them cold, even better.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before. Mm-hmm. They're awesome.
Simply delicious.
No, I've been a Girl Scout since kindergarten, and technically, like, I'm a lifetime Girl Scout. So. Love
that. I'm a lifetime Girl Scout at heart. I was only a brownie.
Yeah.
But at heart, I am. Mm-hmm. I sold many cookies. I won many prizes. Don't get anything wrong about that. Yeah. My entire garage was filled with cookies.
Oh, I know. Yeah. See, yeah, having flashbacks to when we had to stand at those cookie booths.
Oh my god, in the freezing cold. All the cookies. Yeah.
Yes.
The misery.
I know. Oh my gosh. And then, like, when, also, I was talking to Adriana about how I remember when cookies were $3.50.
Bro.
And I was like, I feel so old saying that.
I know. Now they're
but, $5. Like, I really remember when they were $3.50, and, like, I remember having to do the math when people would buy them. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
I remember at some point they were $3 for me, like, just straight up $3.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was for me too. I don't know. I really remember the $3.50 though. I don't know. And like now they're $5.
At least in North Carolina.
Yeah, at least where we are now. Because in some states it's $6, mm-hmm. but it's $5. And I feel like $5 is a good, like, easy math number.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not paying more than $5. So Girl Scouts of America, if you're listening, you better not raise it more, because I'm not paying more than $5.
Right. I know. I mean, you're supporting Girl Scouts. So.
Listen,
it's a good organization.
It is a good organization, but I'm just letting them know for the future. Like, I won't be buying nearly as many because I'm poor. Girl Scouts of America.
Yeah.
And no, they should be $3. No, honestly, support the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Go out and get your boxes.
Go on ahead and get your cookies. If you didn't know, now you know. It's Girl Scout cookie season.
Yes. I believe everywhere. I don't know if it starts...
No, it started.
On the same... Yep. I don't know if it starts on, like, the exact same day everywhere, but, like, by now, it definitely is everywhere.
When this comes out, 100%, it will be.
Yeah. I don't know. What have you been up to the past week, Taylor?
Just suffering through life, really. Suffering. I mean, nothing specific. Just working is killing me. One thing I was going to bring up is this is coming out on the last day of January, which is making me very happy that we are moving out of that and closer to the warmth
and the happiness. Honestly, I think January, this month has lasted
eternity.
So long. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree.
Okay. So I kind of agree with what you were saying though. Like my vibe for the past week has been also kind of a little bit misery.
Yeah, just bad but vibes.
We're, okay, listen, like we're not here for bad vibes, but I do feel like I need to share this with everybody. my oven broke.
Yeah, rest in peace. And that is, oven.
Yeah, rest in peace, because we determined that it's not really an easy fix, and I'm gonna have to buy a new one.
Yeah.
So.
Listen, adult struggles are really hard.
It really is, yeah.
It's just so hard. And especially when it's cold and you can't go outside and it's dark when you get off work and so you're just stuck in the house.
I know.
Like, everything is just really depressing. So.
But, listeners, Taylor, my dear co-host, you know, has lent me her air fryer. So all is good.
So Savannah can cook. She is not starving over there.
Yeah. So.
Bless up. Yep. Have you made any good meals in the air fryer?
Yes, actually, we cooked salmon last night, and it was really good in there.
Honestly, salmon is really busted in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can really cook anything in an air fryer.
Yeah, I've never really used one.
Yeah, and my mom, that's like all I asked for Christmas a couple years ago, and she got me like the really nice one. So.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm. I love her. Love her, love her so much. Okay, also, so. Moving on, very different subject, but I just thought about it. Percy Jackson, you know we have to talk about it. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, sorry. We thought, me and Savannah had heard rumors that episode 6 was going to be a musical.
Yes.
And then Lin-Manuel Miranda was in it, and we were like, okay, it's definitely going to be a musical. Turns out, no music happened. Which broke my heart. Can't lie. I mean, it was still a good episode, but I wanted to hear some singing, so I was a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And now I only have 2 episodes left. So.
Yeah. Sad. I mean, I guess there's still room for one, but I don't know. I don't think they're gonna do it.
I don't think they are either, so I'm sad. Sad about that. Okay, one last thing I have. Listeners. I have been trying so hard for the past month to get Savannah to go see Wonka with me, and she has been refusing, except for I think I maybe broke through today.
Listen, okay, so I'll go see it, okay, but I don't think I'm gonna like it. I don't know.
Listen, I'm not even saying that I'm gonna like it. I mean, I just think it seems like a silly, fun time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And also, I think we might have to bring Adriana along with us because she also asked me to watch it. Mm-hmm. She also asked me to go see it with her, and I told her no as well. So if I go with Taylor, she might kill me. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we gotta go as a group.
Yeah, we have to have the group, the squadron. We can sneak in some of our Girl Scout cookies. Movie theater, you didn't hear me say that. Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe we'll have an update next week on if our movie review on Wonka, if I can convince Savannah to go.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we'll give a review. But I think I don't really want to when you asked before is like, I don't know, the trailer for the movie really just did not like intrigue me, you know what I mean?
No, I do agree. I do agree. However,
like I will go see anything, but
right. But here's the thing: our love for Augustus Gloop.
Like, well, see, that's true.
We mention Augustus Gloop in every single episode, and I'm like, we don't even know who he is. Like, you know, we haven't seen him in the trailer. He's not in the trailer.
Yeah, that's like, true. Yeah.
It could be, like, the best thing in the whole
world. No, but I don't think he's in this because isn't the pre Wonka?
No, I have no idea. I have no
information. Oh, you don't know anything about it?
Nope.
So I'm pretty sure Wonka is about before he made the factory and, like, how he made the Wonka factory and everything.
Oh.
His company.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like a...
Well, then that means it's going to be a completely different story.
It is.
That's even better.
Yeah.
No expectations.
Uh-huh. See, you're trying to get me to watch something that you don't even know anything about it.
I just want to see it because it's a musical. I love musicals, and the songs are in my head from TikTok.
Yes. Yeah, see, that's another thing. I've heard some of the songs, and I'm not too excited about them. But, I mean, we can give it a chance, okay? I'm ready to give it a chance.
Listen, Savannah's being a hater. I feel like she's going to come back next week, and she's going to be like, guys, I love Wonka. It's my favorite movie of all time.
We'll see.
So, I guess, you know, we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Of our lives. But go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But if you want to go ahead and get into your story, Savannah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so this week I have another cryptid to talk about.
Ooh, fun.
And this is one that you're definitely going to know because it's one of the more famous cryptids.
Oh, amazing.
It's the Yeti.
Ah, shout out.
Yeah.
Not sponsored.
So I know. No, honestly, when I was looking up Yeti, like, I had to, like, specify.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I had to specify because it kept pulling up, you know, the brand Yeti. But no, we're not talking about the brand today. We're talking about the cryptid, the Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman.
Listen, that is my favorite word. This is a very fun random fact about me. Abominable Snowman is the most fun word I've ever said.
And most fun phrase.
Just abominable.
Just abominable, yeah.
And me and my friends made it up, like, instead of a bomb, we say abominable, like a bomb. Oh. And, like, the faster you say it, the funnier it is. So just go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah. Wait, did you say it?
Abominable.
Abominable.
See, it's it just, is fun. It's the funnest thing ever.
You're right. Okay, so, all right. The Yeti. I'm honestly surprised that we haven't gone over this at all. I think we did mention it.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely mentioned it briefly.
Yeah. So the Yeti is an ape-like creature living in the Himalayan mountain range in Asia. And that is over the countries of Nepal, Tibet, Russia, and India. And the word Yeti is actually derived from a Tibetan term that translates to, like, rocky bear or bear-like. So that's what they sort of think of the creature, I guess. And as I said, it's also commonly referred to as the Abominable Snowman in Western culture.
Yes. Definitely.
So the reason that it's called that is actually because of, like, a translation error, sort of.
Oh, interesting.
So there was a journalist who was working in Calcutta in the 1920s, and he first heard reports of a wild man on the Himalayas from members of a 1921 British expedition to Everest. So they were on this expedition and, you know, they have, like, Sherpas, like, guides with them. And there's, like, a translator going in between the British and the Sherpas. And the translator was trying to find, like, how to translate the word for what they were saying, like, Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were definitely, like, they weren't saying Yeti, but they were saying some word in their language. And he was trying to just translate it in a way that would make sense.
Yeah.
And he came up with Abominable Snowman.
Isn't it? I agree.
So, yeah. So he's like, okay, I mean, because what they were basically saying was, like, man-like wild creature, and like
white.
Yeah, so I guess, like, abomination came up, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which, like, is kind monster. Of a strong word now that you think of it. It's like, okay, abomination, like, abominable.
Yeah, no, that's, it's really mean.
Yeah, it
very
is.
Very bully.
Mm-hmm. But when you put it with snowman, like, now that's, like, a phrase that people know. So mm-hmm. it's, yeah. So anyways, that's how we got that word. You know, it's just some guy kind of, like, made it up when he was translating. So that's, yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. So, the Yeti, actually, it traces back to different cultures in the area as well. So it's really ingrained in, like, Buddhist culture, and, like, pre-Buddhist culture. So I'll get into that a little bit. But before I talk about that, I'm just going to go through the, like, a more detailed description of the Yeti. So the Yeti is, like, a large bipedal ape-like creature. So standing on 2 feet, it's not going to be, like, the, you know, a normal ape where they're, like, on all fours. He's on his 2 feet, just like Bigfoot. So similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Did we cover Bigfoot? I feel like I should have looked that up too, because
yes, we definitely have.
I should have looked up what episode, because this is very similar. So he, well, I'm just going to use he for sure. Even though some people do say it's like a species as well. So mm-hmm. I don't know. But the Yeti, it is covered in brown, gray, or white hair. So, which is interesting, because I always thought it was only white.
Me too. Well,
but,
like,
it's also
the hair part of it, at least. But, like, yeah.
Yes. Like, but I saw that it was described as brown, gray, or white hair.
Interesting.
So, and it is also sometimes depicted as having large, sharp teeth. So,
hate that.
Yeah. they are usually 6 to 9 feet tall.
Lord.
I think it's described.
So tall.
Yeah, huge. And they're described as having a broad forehead, short and wide nose, and a pronounced brow ridge. And they're kind of like a human bear snowman hybrid. So, yeah, all of that. But also, like, they also kept saying ape-like, but also, like, bear-like. Hmm. So it's just
all of the above.
Yeah, all of it. The sightings of the Yeti have gone all the way back to pre-Buddhist culture. So, like, long time ago. And the Laika people, they worshipped a glacier giant as the god of the hunt.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and people are like, okay, well, that's the Yeti, you know?
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and also followers of the Bon religion, they used the blood of quote-unquote wild man.
Wow.
In certain spiritual ceremonies.
Okay.
So this wild man was depicted as, like, an ape-like creature who carries a large stone and as a weapon, and he makes a whistling swoosh sound.
With his mouth, body? We don't know.
I don't know. It just said that he was making a whistling swoosh sound.
I'm going to assume maybe it's like his hair flying through the wind, you know?
He's just swooshing.
He's swooshing around.
I'm guessing like this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was picturing.
Yes.
Just his hair blowing in the wind.
Yeah. So the Yeti also made it into Buddhist mythology. And in Buddhist mythology, they are peaceful creatures. So that's really nice. They're shy, and they live in the snow, in caves on the glaciers that
they're
form
shy.
The... No, I know. They're shy.
That hurts me.
Yeah. They live in caves on, like, around the Ganges River in India. So
interesting.
Yeah. I know. I'm just picturing them like as these little, like peaceful, gigantic creatures that just like walk around, mind their own business. They're just like, yeah, you know, we're just living here.
True. I wish I could think of them like that, but all I'm thinking about is Scooby-Doo and the Abominable Snowman.
Oh.
Episode. But I mean, it's Scooby-Doo, so obviously the Abominable Snowman / Yeti was a person dressed up being evil.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that stuff like that just gives them a bad rap.
Exactly.
You know? The Yeti.
They're shy.
They are just, they're shy and they're cute little guys.
Cute big guys. Yeah.
So in Tibetan Buddhism, the Yeti is considered a non-human animal but it's also like close enough to being human that they can follow Dharma.
Okay.
And do you know what Dharma is?
I do, but I have forgotten immediately.
Okay. Okay, so Dharma in Buddhism is like the teaching of Buddhism. So so it's like morality and virtue and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
So basically they're saying like these creatures, yeah, they're not human, but they're close enough to human that they have morals.
Well, that sounds pretty human to me. I mean, some humans don't even have morals, so.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, that makes me like them even more. Like, the idea of a Yeti just being like that.
Honestly, the idea of hugging a Yeti if it wasn't going to eat me sounds like the most relaxing, calming thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, according to them, they would not eat you. Like,
listen, I believe them. I'm just saying, like, the big teeth that we mentioned earlier, you know, I would be a little scared. They are an animal.
I think the big teeth part of it comes from people just wanting to say, like, describe them as mean, you know?
I do get that. So, yeah, I want a hug.
Yeah.
I want to hug a Yeti, period.
Like, so far, they might be my favorite cryptid.
Aw, what a cutie.
Like, they're so sweet. Yeah. They're also shown as helpers and disciples to religious figures in Buddhism. And they're shown as guardians against evil spirits. So, just all around great. And it's also like, even though they are so great, it's kind of a bad omen to see one because they actually enforce Dharma. Ooh. So if you see one, then it's a sign that you're not really like following the right path.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So you see one and it's basically a sign like, oh, you did something wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're not following your the teachings of Buddhism. So, yeah.
I can't believe they're so heavily rooted in Buddhism. I had no idea.
I know. I didn't expect that to come up at all.
Me either.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, there are a few famous sightings that I'll get into here. In 1832, B.H. Hodgson, he was a trekker in northern Nepal, and he described seeing a large bipedal creature covered in long, dark hair, and his guides that he was with pointed him out, and he actually concluded, he's like, oh, that's actually just an orangutan. But, like, how is that going to be in, like...
Okay, first of all,
like in Nepal,
I have seen like, I get, so I many orangutans in my life, and I have never seen one that has been 6 to 9 feet tall.
Right.
And also, are they even native to that area?
I don't know. But also, I don't know if they, like, I don't think they would be on 2 feet. Like, they would be, because their arms are so long. Because the Yeti also is described as having long arms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of ape.
Yeah.
But it stands on its own, like, two legs. It doesn't really use the front arms to be on the ground.
Well, I think orangutans might use both. Like, might... I don't know what it's called when you are bipedal and four. I thought they can do both, though. But well, I could be thinking of something else.
I don't know, though. I'm trying to picture one doing that, and I feel like I just picture them using all four.
Maybe. Unknown.
Hmm.
But what I do know is that, so they say that it's like a really big one, that like it's like 6 to 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
I've never in my life heard of that ever before.
Yeah.
So regardless of how it was walking. I mean, maybe true. There's one that big out there, but I ain't never heard of it.
Yeah, I know. Because I guess we've only seen them at like the zoo too, so.
Yeah.
Maybe true. They're smaller, but I bet not.
I feel like it can be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I've seen a pretty big one, but like not bigger than like a human or like the same size, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was another famous sighting, or he's kind of just like a famous, almost Yeti hunter. Like, he's just trying to see one, basically. So this is Sir Edmund Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And he climbed Mount Everest, in the 50s. He was a mountain climber from New Zealand. And he reached the top of Everest on May 29th of 1953.
Wow. And he survived it? Props to him.
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, I could never. Like, I would never want to.
No, we could never. I have talked on this podcast. I wish I knew the episode. But I talked about Everest and how, like, a lot of people do not survive the hike up Mount Everest. Yes. And they leave their body there.
Yeah,
I don't want that risk.
I think I know which episode you talked about that, because you were talking about Dyatlov Pass.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Yeah, I actually have this mentioned a little farther down in my notes. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, because it has to do with the same area. But, so yeah, go back to episode 31 if you want to hear about that. But
oh, wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was really long ago. So, yeah, we'll just mention again that we would never want to climb Mount Everest.
Nope, you'll never catch me doing it ever.
Okay, because I don't get the people who are like, I want to do it before I die, like go to the highest mountain.
Dude, I actually know somebody who is training to do it. Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Do I know them?
No. They're friends of my uncle. He is like a very athletic person. He does like all the Ironmans and stuff like that. Yep, and he's planning on doing Everest in a couple years.
I mean, I guess it's cool in a way, but it's like,
cool. But I don't love the cold, so mm-hmm. it could never be me.
See, like, it's cool, but at the same time, I do kind of judge people for it.
Same.
Because, maybe I... Only because it costs so much to do that. And it's like, why would you want to?
It does cost a lot of money. Also, I couldn't even make it up like a 14er without having altitude sickness. I cannot imagine the altitude sickness that would come with being on the tallest mountain in the world.
Yes, altitude sickness and you're cold.
Freezing, freezing cold. Snow? Mm-mm. Absolutely not. It actually sounds like my personal hell.
Yeah, so. It does. Mm-mm.
No offense to anybody who wants to go climb Mount Everest. Yeah, no offense. But it ain't for me.
But I read a book about people climbing Everest.
Did they make it?
I forgot what it was called. What'd you say?
I said, did they make it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I forget what it was called. But that whole book, like, described the processes and everything, and I just never knew... like how crazy it was to actually climb it until I read that book, and I was like, oh god, I would never. Mm-mm. But anyways, that aside, so Sir Edmund Hillary, he did it in the 50s. So he and this guy Tenzing Norgay, they climbed to the top with guides, and they both reported seeing Yeti footprints on the way.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. But, you know, later they both said that these footprints were unreliable and were probably not the Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1960, Sir Edmund Hillary, he was still like, he's like, okay, like, I believe there's a Yeti out there. I'm trying to find it. So he went on the Silver Hut expedition with a few people, and they went to the Himalayas to collect and analyze physical evidence of the Yeti.
Oh.
And he even went to a monastery and he borrowed a, quote, Yeti scalp.
Okay.
From the monastery, and he brought it to London, where a piece was cut off for testing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they analyzed this piece and compared it with similar scalps that were sampled from, like, the Cerro, the blue bear, and the black bear. And it was concluded that the sample was similar to the Cerro, but not identical. It was closely related to this, like, closely related species.
That's interesting.
And a Cerro is actually a medium-sized goat-like or antelope-like mammal.
What?
It
was similar to that?
Yeah. So it's not even really similar.
That's so weird.
Like, when I did, like, a quick Google search, that's what a Cerro is. It's, like, not really similar to a bear, but.
Very weird. Also, I was going to say, like, on his first expedition, like, up Everest, when they, quote-unquote, saw the footprints, do you know what a common sign of frostbite is? Hallucinations. So.
Oh.
I don't know if that could play a part into the whole Yeti lore.
Could be.
But it is cold out there, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and since there's snow everywhere, you're probably, like, sun blinded.
Yeah,
and
snow stuff, right? Snow blindness. Yeah.
Snow blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could have something to do with it as well.
Yep, surely could.
Mm-hmm. So I also have here, just like I was talking about a few minutes ago, the Dyatlov Pass. So you covered this in episode 31. So over 100 episodes ago.
Literally.
But I did not go back and listen to it.
Rude. But, how could you? I remember everything about it, so.
Okay. So just to summarize, you know, you can go back and listen to the full story. But to summarize, there were 9 hikers that were camped out on a mountain pass, and they were attacked. And nobody, you know, it was kind of a mystery of what happened.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, some say that it could have been the Yeti.
Yeah.
So, that's one and of the theories.
Because some of them, like, they all were dead, but they were all found dead in, like, weird ways. Like, not all the same way. And some of them had, like, their eyes ripped out of their head.
Yeah.
Weird Scary. Stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it could have been the Yeti. We could've never been. Know. But also, I don't know, like, some of these other stories that I was telling you, all of the legends and stuff say that they're peaceful.
But also, like, is anybody peaceful when provoked? Like, what if these people were just scared and they were, like, shooting at it or trying to hurt it? Like, obviously, I don't think it's just, like, fight or flight isn't every animal, you know?
That's true.
And I feel like if you're 9 feet tall, maybe you would try to fight. I would. And I'm only 5'6".
Yeah, 5'7". True.
So, you know, I'm just saying. Maybe the Yeti had to protect himself.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. So, there are theories out there, as to, you know, if the Yeti is out there, what exactly is it? Or, you know, is it just, something that we already know of that we're misidentifying? Some people theorize that the Yeti could be related to the Gigantopithecus.
Oh, yeah. Which,
okay.
I actually do know what that is.
You have heard of that? Okay. Yeah. So it's a prehistoric ape that lived in Asia 300,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, I think I've said this before on here, but I took a dinosaur class in college where I had to learn, like, all these old things. And it was actually really hard. It was, like, one of the hardest classes I took, and I took it for fun. So, yeah, I have heard of that.
Wow. Okay. But, yeah, so that the Yeti could be related to it.
Yeah, like its maybe little descendant. That's cool.
Yeah. So the Yeti is described as bipedal, and most scientists believe that the Gigantopithecus, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
It's a long word, okay?
It is.
So they have, they walked on all fours. So,
well, you know, allegedly maybe we did too at one point.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, but scientists that have, like, you know, been over this, they're like, okay, well, its ancestors walked on all fours, so it would have been really difficult for it to walk upright, so this is probably not a descendant.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's, like, the main reason why it couldn't be, but I don't know.
I mean, I guess I believe the science.
But, like, I don't know, like, the other thing sort of connect to it, just because, like, they, it, like, being prehistoric and everything, it sort of did have the same features as what the Yeti is described as.
That's true. So, also, similar. I really think that you can be, like, whatever you would call being, like, all, on all fours. I think you can really evolve from all fours to 2 feet. I think you can.
Yeah.
I think there's other species that have. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. So.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's at least possible.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the main theories. And then the other theory kind of is that it's just a bear.
Yeah.
It's just a bear that people are like, oh, it's the Yeti, but it's just people are seeing bears.
Okay, but, like, what about the white-haired ones? There's no polar bears. What, they're just, know, like, maybe, albino bears?
Yeah, or just, like, light gray. That's
maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe light gray and, like, the snow blindness aspect is making it look more white.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure if the Yeti exists or not, because at one point in time, around, like, the 60s and before, like, people really did think that this was, like, definitely out there, like, definitely the Yeti was real.
Yeah.
But then after that, they sort of phased out to, like, okay, well, maybe it's just, like, a cryptid, like, you know, not really a real animal. So, I don't know. I kind of am lean towards it could maybe just be a bear. But at the same time, I do love the legends of them being just, like, these really peaceful creatures that live out in the woods, in the mountains. And,
like that idea, too. Here's Taylor's theory, okay? And this has been my theory for a long time. I think that the Yeti and Bigfoot and Yowies, all of the above, are all the same, like, creature that just live in different parts of the world.
Yeah. No, I
and have agree adapted. With that. Like, we just haven't found them. They hide. I don't know. There's a lot of this world that we don't know. And we think we know everything. And I just, we definitely don't. Yeah. And that's 100% sure.
Yeah. And it is, like, when you bring that aspect into it, it is kind of crazy that, like, people have had, like, sightings have been made all over the world. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, there's been sightings all over the world of these types of creatures.
And they're all the same. So, you know, and none of them are, like, really harmful. They're all just, like, these really tall, hairy,
yeah, bipedal, but for some reason they're still not, like, documented as, like, real animals.
I know, it's so weird to me. And, like, maybe they're fake, but I don't know, it's so hard to believe. Like, and they're so deeply nested in Buddhism, that's really that makes it more real for me. Like, that, I don't know, like, also, yeah, they're Buddhist, that's cool.
Yeah,
They crazy. Are. I did have a question for you.
Okay.
First of all, have you been to Disney World in Florida?
Yes.
Have you ridden Expedition Everest?
Yes, and I love that ride.
It's like one of my favorite ones at Disney World. When I went one time, there was like no line whatsoever. So they let us stay on like 15 times in a row. Like we didn't even have to get off and get back in the line. They were like, y'all can just keep going if you want. And we did.
Wow.
Every time. And if you don't know, you get to like the end of the track of this roller coaster. And it appears that the big Yeti has eaten the like track like of the roller coaster. And you think you're going to fly off. But then all of a sudden you start going backwards.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I know. I want to go back to Disney just to ride that. That was a fun ride.
I love that ride so much. It's not even funny. That's also something I was thinking about like the whole time you were telling your story.
Yeah. No, because I also went on TikTok to look up like anything people had on Yetis.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I did see a lot on the Yeti cup.
Yeah, there's and that.
Then after I searched like Yeti Abominable Snowman instead, I kept seeing stuff about the ride.
Yeah.
So
it does make sense.
Yeah. So those are the most popular things that have to do with the Yeti, I guess.
Which is sad. Like, give the Yeti its spotlight. It deserves.
Yes.
Guys, it's not just a ride at Disney World, even though that's all I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Not really. That's really cool. I love that story. We love the Yeti. You know what's really weird?
What?
So, we always have similarities within our stories, but today is a weird similarity. It's the one that you wouldn't really notice off the top of the hat.
Okay.
So, I guess, very sharp turn moving on to my story. I have for you the mystery of the Yonaguni Monument. And so the similarities of our two stories is that they both start with Y, which is very, I feel like, listen, I know that's far-fetched, but like, why is that a common letter?
I mean, you're right. Yeah. No, I see it.
So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And another coincidence is that your story and mine will both leave us asking the question, why? Or at least mine will. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess let's just get on into it. Like I said, I'm covering the Yonaguni Monument, and it's also known as the Yonaguni Submarine Ruins. And so it is this submerged rock formation located off the island of Yonaguni, which is in Japan. And it's right beside the island of Okinawa. So.
Okay.
If you know where that is. Anyway, the Yonaguni Monument is known as Japan's Atlantis.
Oh.
Throwing it back all the way to episode one. Yeah. When Savannah covered Atlantis. So, long time ago.
Yes, a long time ago that and I kind of want to forget.
We talk about deleting it all the time. We will never, but just know that we want to. Because it sounds so bad compared to I recorded that episode under a comforter.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I'm so hot. We've came a long way over the years, but anyway, let's jump right into the story. The waters off of the island of Yonaguni, it's actually a very popular diving location in the winter months because there's a very large population of hammerhead sharks. So, apparently this is the absolute place to go if you want to dive with hammerheads. Which to me sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, scary, but like hammerheads are so cute.
Yeah.
Are we kidding? They're not that mean. What are they going to do, bump into you with their little hammerhead?
Yeah, I mean, I would still be a little bit scared. But...
I mean, yeah, but they're... I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I'm just kidding. I know what the worst that can happen is. But
yeah.
I think that just sounds fun. And obviously, if it's like the place to go, it can't be that dangerous, you know? Like millions of people go just to literally dive with the hammerheads here. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I didn't look up the accident rates or anything, but it can't be that bad if people still go there.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 1986, there was this guy named Kihachiro Arataki, and he was diving off of Yonaguni Island, checking out the sharks, just like I said. But he was kind of swam a little bit away from everybody else, and he actually discovered something in the water. And so he came across this really peculiar structure that seemed to be very out of place, and it was sitting on the ocean floor. He said it resembled a pyramid and had lots of steps that were all very symmetrical and even.
Oh, that's so weird.
Very weird. Very weird. And so it has today been measured, and I did convert it for you guys in America. It stands around 82 feet tall and 328 feet high.
Oh, wow.
So basically this is like a pyramid. Okay, big old pyramid underwater. And this thing is absolutely ginormous. It is composed of shale rock and sandstone. But the mystery is, nobody knows how it got there.
Wait, what?
Mm-mm, nope. Nope, this guy was just free diving one day, found it. And nobody's ever owned up to it. They're like, wasn't us. Everybody's like, wasn't me. I don't know what it is. So, there are some theories as to how it got there, obviously.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to hear these theories because, like, how have I not heard of this?
That's what I'm saying. Like, we hear so much about, the regular Atlantis, and how have we never heard of this one? Like, it's crazy.
This is actually Atlantis.
Right?
Like...
It's possible. So, the first theory is that this monument was created by an ancient civilization, such as maybe Atlantis. Researcher Masaki Kimura, from a nearby university, he believes that the structure is a group of monoliths built by humans. Okay. According to him, it dates back nearly 10,000 years and was once a part of the lost continent of Mu. And I was like, what is Mu?
I've never heard of that.
That's what I'm saying. A whole lost continent? What? You're telling me, I understand Pangaea, all that. Got it?
Right, like, I get that there was lost continents and stuff, but, like, how did I never hear of this one, like, the name of it and stuff?
Exactly. But, so I did look into Mu. It is a mythical continent.
Oh.
Supposedly located in the Pacific Ocean. And its story parallels the myths of Atlantis and Lumeria, which you did cover both of those.
Okay, well, maybe it's real.
Exactly.
It's there.
I mean, literally, it's quite literally there. So, there's that difference. As for Mu, the civilization, I mean, not the civilization, the continent, it... allegedly was sunken, I guess is the best word to put it, into the ocean after what scientists call a great cataclysm, which basically, in general terms, means either an earthquake or a hurricane or something of the such submerged this land beneath the ocean.
Okay.
It was once above, and then it just, like, sunk down.
Right.
And so... this theory says that whenever that happened to Mu, the people who lived on Mu, who survived, scattered across the earth and ended up, like, founding all these new civilizations. And the big overall theory is that the people of Mu went to Egypt and, the Mayan culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And that these are the places today where we still have pyramids. So, those pyramids also are a mystery as to kind of how they were built, you know? So,
yeah.
Maybe that is true. They were getting some practice and then it got sunk to the ocean. They were like, okay, let's do it nowhere really near an ocean. Maybe it won't get sank. Maybe. Yeah. Most academics, scientists seem to discredit this theory and call it fairy tale, which I think is lame, because I feel like it does have some, like, it kind of makes sense, honestly.
It does. And it's like, I don't understand what is their theory then?
Well, we will get to their theory, but, okay. Kimura, the guy whose theory this all is, he does have some evidence to support it. For one, Japan lies in the Ring of Fire, which subjects it to very frequent earthquakes and volcanic activity. Also, not to mention typhoons and tsunamis that happen all the time in Japan. So it's very much so possible that there were all these land masses once there that were destroyed or sank.
Yeah.
Like moved.
Yeah. It's a dangerous area.
It is. It really is. And his second piece of evidence is that he thinks the structure possesses statues. Okay? Not thinks. Huh. He sees them. Okay. He's seen them. And that he says that they resemble animals. And there are also holes, which could have been, like, some posts, like, if you were inside of the pyramid, where people could have been. As well as there are carvings on the outside of the pyramid.
Oh, okay.
So.
This is really just taking me to the movie Atlantis.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Disney movie.
You know the animated movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, do I? It really is.
Where, like, I'm picturing this scene in, where there's, like, the giant tsunami that's coming to, like, literally just bury everything.
Yes.
And it's the little girl, she's just, like, trying to escape, and, yeah it's, like, a whole thing, yeah.
Wow,
If you know the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
If you know, you know. Yeah, okay, let's see here. Okay, but third, other than the symbols and the carvings that he says are on there, he also makes notice as to the perfect math, angles, and geometry of the rocks. And he said, This literally has to be human made because nobody could get it as perfect as it looks, right. And that it wouldn't really form naturally that way.
Right, yeah.
So, listen, I'm with him on that. So other people who don't really believe that it was the lost continent of Mu, some people think that it was actually the Jomon people who built the monument, and the Jomon were hunter-gatherers who occupied these islands up until 300 BC. Basically, the people who believe this theory are essentially believing Chimera's theory, but they're just saying it was a different group of people, and that actually it's been there for, like, way longer.
Right.
So,
I mean, I can see it being different groups of people. Like, I think that part of
I'm not fighting about. Who
it's
did
like,
it.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. It could be many different groups.
For sure.
But it was probably a group, right? Like,
I mean, for sure. It's just like these people kind of think that it's older than 10,000 years, like Chimera thinks.
Okay.
It's pretty much the only difference between their theories.
Yeah.
But, yes. But the complete other theory that people believe is that this underwater pyramid is just the result of natural processes.
I knew you were going to say that. And they're like,
girl,
if what you're describing is true, like, there's no way. I need to see a picture
Google it as I tell you what these people are saying, or go ahead and Google it now so you can see. Yonaguni, why it's spelled just like it sounds.
Right.
Monument.
One word. Okay.
Yeah. And you'll see it. So, yeah, people think that this is actually not human-made, that it just happens naturally. So, geologist Robert Scooch.
Okay. I'm sorry. I need to interrupt right now.
Go ahead.
I just saw the pictures. Mm-hmm. There is no way.
No.
There's no way.
I'm so sorry. They can literally say whatever they want. But
That natural is not... processes. It was like, it's like eroding due to natural processes. Definitely. But it was not built by, like, what? Definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's eroding, how could it be, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me how that theory makes sense. And I haven't even explained it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Go Google it. Go see the pictures. Go to our Instagram. Because you're going to have to see it to believe it. So this geologist, Robert Scoach, he was from Boston University. And he is basically Chimera's main critic of his theory.
Okay. So he's the enemy. No, I'm just kidding.
He's our enemy. Yes.
Right.
In our belief. So Robert believes that the monument contains numerous well-defined parallel bedding planes, which along which all layers easily separate. That's his quote. Basically, in regular English, he's saying that the joining and breaking of these rectangular rocks is just natural. Like, he's like, yeah, rocks can form to be rectangular and in the shape of steps and such things.
Okay, what? I guess I'm not the professional, but yeah, I mean, don't understand how. I don't understand how that can happen.
Yeah, well, okay, so Robert also says that even though it does mimic steps, steps occur naturally in nature as well. This is true. This is true, I suppose. I will have to give him that. But not like the way that it looks, if right. you have seen the picture. Like
the pyramid?
Like, the perfect pyramid shape is right. a little strange.
Like, I do see what he's saying. Yes, like, things can break off at perfect angles. For and sure. It'll, yeah, like, natural processes can do that, but not in that way. Like, I don't know. Right. The pyramid, that picture is just, like, that's too, like, structured.
I know. It's very structured. It really is. And so Robert also, he addresses the carvings on the outside that Chimera was talking about. And he says that the carvings on the monument are absolutely carved by humans. But he says that it happens like once people go diving that they carve onto it. And I'm like, maybe. Now, I don't know what the carvings look like or say. I didn't look that hard, but I couldn't really find any up close pictures of them. So it could be like... L&M Forever 2022 heart, you know, I don't know. Or it could be like hieroglyphics, I don't know. But whatever carvings were on there, needless to say, everybody does agree that humans made them. Some people just think it was more recent versus more old. So who knows?
Yeah. No, and I can almost like agree with him there.
I can too, for sure.
Like I'll give you that part, but not the
but not everything. Not
the
else.
Whole thing. Yeah.
No, I agree. And I also think it could maybe be both. Maybe new carvings and old carvings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one explanation that Robert has is that this monument is similar to the Northern Ireland's Giant Causeway, which I did not know what that was, so I looked it up. It is basically, it's crazy. It is this system, basically, of interlocking columns that were forced, like, and created by this volcanic eruption that happened millions of years ago. And there's thousands of them. And they're basically like little, like, columns, but they kind of look like either hexagons or octagons. And they are naturally made, allegedly. And so that is a legend that I'm going to have to cover another day, because there's a reason why it's called the Giant's Causeway.
Okay.
In the legend. But overall, people do believe that the Giant's Causeway is naturally occurring because of the rocks that go there. And just, I guess, the way that the waves are moving and stuff there and the volcanic activity. However, using this as an explanation as to why this pyramid is natural makes no sense. I guess he's just like, well, you see, if it can make this great columns, it can obviously make this perfectly good pyramid. Which I'm like...
Okay, I did just look up pictures of that too. The Giant's Causeway.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, there's nothing, it's not similar at all.
No, it's just like, okay, so you can say one thing is natural just because there's something else that's natural that made something that looks like something. Like, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, okay, no, it definitely is, like, all natural just because, you know, nature can make these
crazy angles shapes and stuff. Yeah.
And it's like,
And I'm like, that's really reaching. Really, really reaching.
Yeah, I think it's reaching.
It is reaching. But there is other legends about the Giant's Causeway as to what created the columns. So that I will cover soon.
Okay. Yeah.
And a whole different story because it's very interesting about that. So my argument to Robert is, okay, so if this is occurring naturally due to volcanic activity or whatever else you want to blame it on, why are we not seeing, for example, more than one pyramid at the bottom of this ocean? Why aren't we seeing this multiple times? Like, there's one Giant's Causeway, there's one mysterious pyramid on the bottom of the ocean, not a bunch.
No, that's so true.
And we're in the Ring of Fire, so it feels like there should be tons, if this is the case, if it's naturally occurring. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Riddle me that one. Seems strange to me. And maybe there are. Maybe we just haven't found them. You know, there is a point to that. But seems to me a lot of people go diving around these parts. So I'm just saying, I feel like they probably would have been found. Possibly. So that's my little piece. Let's see here. Okay, also, very important to note, the Japanese government clearly does not think that this is something important at all, because there are no laws or anything put in place protecting against the monument's harm. And people have, like, argued and vouched for it. They're like, it needs to be protected. And they're like, we don't care.
Yeah, because they think that it's just a natural occurring thing, and they're like, well, whatever.
Right.
It's not like a historic thing.
I mean, okay, first, yeah, I get that, but also, I also don't. Like, it's so cool. Why not preserve it?
You know? True. Yeah, like, either way.
Either way.
Cool. Yeah.
But yeah, so the government also does not believe, but I'm like, are they just saying that so they don't have to admit that they believe that maybe an ancient civilization built it? I don't know. Don't come after me, government. Just saying. So, yes. Now, my final point. Of course we must visit the question, could it be aliens?
Yeah.
And I did do pretty extensive research for this, and I could not even find one singular thing that mentioned aliens having to do with the Yonaguni Monument. But oh, wow, I have really? My questions, okay? Because for one, aliens play a big part in the theories of the rest of the pyramids around the world. So why is this one any different, you know?
Yeah, that is, like, weird.
It is weird. It is weird. And also, even more weird, in my opinion, is that when talking about aliens in general, we typically think that they're, like, in outer space somewhere, like, in a different galaxy hiding.
Yeah.
Right? But some people think that aliens actually live in the ocean, our ocean, because it is one of the last frontiers. AKA, if you don't know what a frontier is, it means we haven't explored all of it because we physically cannot. You know, we know what happened to the submarine. Rest in peace to those guys. We can only go down so far into the ocean. So we don't even know what's down there. So the fact that, like, aliens aren't brought up and that could have possibly built this is a little weird for me. So my theory, Taylor's personal theory, could aliens be living in the ocean and just built this pyramid for funsies? Maybe.
I feel like if aliens built it, then they did it while, like, the other theory still stand, and that it was a continent at one point, and that's when it was built, and then it sank, and maybe they're still down there, but
true.
You know, like,
true. I actually don't believe that theory. I just had to throw it out there. Because, I mean, yeah, true, makes sense. I really do think it was either the Mu people or some other civilization, like the Atlanteans or the Lemurians, who are gone now because the land changes over time, obviously. And I think it just got sunk. And I think that people just don't want to admit that some ancient civilizations existed.
So. Yeah, and I don't know why. Like, ancient civilizations are so interesting to me.
Same. And guys, like, there were people here before us. Like, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so why are we hiding them? Why are we trying to erase them? I don't understand. I don't know. But I guess then that theory goes into, like, what if they were alien people? And they're like, that's why they're trying to hide. Because that's what some people say about the Atlanteans and the Lemurians.
Right, yeah.
Is that they were actually aliens. So, I don't know. That goes down a whole entire wormhole that we just don't have time for today. But it's a whole thing. Who made this pyramid? I don't know. But yeah, that is the mystery of the Yonaguni Monument. And I really want to see it. I really want to go to Japan one day, and I would love, as I already said, to dive with the hammerhead sharks. But then if I got to also see this mysterious pyramid, worth it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
For me.
Do you know how deep it is?
In the water? Well, it's very deep considering it's like nearly 400 feet tall.
Right. Well, I mean, how deep to see the top?
Oh, I don't know that also. No, I didn't write that down.
Because, like, would we have to...
like, scuba dive for really, sure.
Like, be... Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, be for really, sure. really good at it.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be really good to scuba dive. You just have to take one class. You know?
Yeah.
And they definitely have, like, excursions. You can go see it. Like, people go see it. So, it's not, like, something out of reach. For us to be able to do.
So, yeah. Okay. Add it to the bucket list.
Add it to the bucket list. That's a big one. Even though it sounds fun, scuba diving, it does scare me a little bit. Like, just living in the underwater world for, like, 30 minutes is very scary.
I know. It scares me, too. Because it's like, what if I can't get up to the top, like, quick enough? And also, if you go too quick, then it's not good.
So, what's that called? Oh, man, it's on the tip of my tongue.
You get, like, the bubbles.
Yeah, the bubbles in your brain when you're
exposed. What's it called?
God.
The bends.
The bends. Yes, the bends. That's my worst fear. But, like, we're educated about the bends, so we're not going to go up too fast.
You're right, yeah. You know? Yeah, like, we can do it.
We can do it. We can do it. Dina's did it. We can do it. Like, you know?
Yeah.
We can do it. So, you know, maybe put that on the list. Lower on the list than some of the haunted places that we can go to more easily, because, you know, scuba diving to a mysterious ancient pyramid, that's a little crazy with some sharks. But
okay, I mean, that would be awesome though.
Oh, to see completely that. Awesome. I already have a GoPro, like, we can record the whole thing.
Exactly.
Listen, we gotta add that to the bucket list for sure, because honestly, Japan is calling my name. Also, it's very beautiful here, just to add to the list of reasons why we should go, like, on the island and stuff, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely be sure to check out our Instagram this week. You gotta go see the pyramid. You gotta go see the Yeti. We love and we stand both of them, truly.
Yeah, we do.
We do, but go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And I guess that's really all I have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
I think that's it.
Okay, well then I guess we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.